Testament reading comes from Exodus chapter 16. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost, on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians 4. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men." In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
This takes place on the day following the feeding of the 5,000. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When my wife Judy makes something extraordinarily good to eat, which she does quite regularly, I will say, "You know, if we owned a restaurant, this would be on the menu." So, not too long ago, she started baking a certain kind of bread. And I said to her, after that first loaf of bread, "You know, if we owned a restaurant, this bread would be on the menu." In one form or another, bread is a staple in so many different cultures. From Slovenian potato bread to Italian ciabatta to Norwegian lefse, bread is important. Today we are focusing upon the bread that God rained down from the heavens to those ancient Israelites, that bread called manna. This manna was provided to those ancient Israelites in a rather inhospitable place, the desert, the wilderness. And as far as deserts go, the Sinai Desert is not all that large. It's about 23,000 square miles. That might sound like a lot, but in comparison, the Great Basin, which takes in parts of Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, Utah, covers about 190,000 square miles. So, if any of you are familiar with the Mojave Desert, it's about that size. Fortunately, I'm not familiar with the Mojave Desert. But this was the place, the Sinai Desert, the wilderness, far from civilization, where Israel would spend the next 40 years on the way to the promised land. According to Exodus chapter 16, Israel had been in the desert for anywhere from 1 to 2 months, depending upon how you read the text, after their exodus from Egypt. And by this time, the excitement of all that had worn off. It wasn't so much fun being in the desert anymore. And according to verses 2 and 3 of our Old Testament reading for today, do you remember what they started to do? Grumble and complain. They did a lot of that during those 40 years, grumbling and complaining. And this time they were grumbling and complaining about the lack of food. And I think at least I have to go very lightly on those ancient Israelites at this point, because although I have been hungry, I've never known the meaning of hunger. I've never had my children cry because their bellies were empty. And so I can empathize with those ancient Israelites out there in the desert who wish they were back in Egypt again, because even though they had been slaves back there, at least they were slaves with full stomachs. So God hears their grumbling and their complaining, and he responds with quail in the evening and manna in the morning. And I imagine what it was like for those Israelites on that first morning when they got out of their tents to go collect manna. The text says that in verse 14, it was like thin flakes, like frost, that appeared on the desert floor. I kind of imagined that it was similar to our communion wafers. But anyway, the people go out to collect it after the dew was gone, and they asked a very simple question. What is it? And you know, that's the word manna itself. That's what manna means. The literal translation of the word manna is, what is it? Did you know that? Well, this was the bread. This was the food that God provided the Hebrew people for sustenance during the wilderness wanderings that lasted for 40 years. Any more 40 sounds like a pretty small number to me. But not 40 years in the wilderness. And not 40 years in the wilderness eating the same thing for breakfast every day. So you would have had fresh manna, dried manna, freeze-dried manna, fried manna, baked manna, boiled manna, stir-fry manna, manna casserole. The critical thing about the manna was that they could gather only as much as they needed for that day, and no more. Except on what was anticipation of the Sabbath, they could gather 2 times as much. In verse 14, God says, I'm going to test them and see if they will follow my instructions. Or if they're going to go out there and just greedily grab all they can get. Would they trust in God's provision of manna? One day at a time? Or would they be dissatisfied if they didn't have more? Doesn't this remind you of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Now, Martin Luther reminded us that the bread that we are praying for there is more than just food. It's anything and everything necessary to support this body and life. Clothing, shelter, friends, a job, whatever falls into that category. And it comes down to trust. Will we trust in God to supply what we need for today, one day at a time? I suppose that each and every one of us goes through a period of time in our lives that could be described as being like a desert, a wilderness, a place that seems inhospitable to us, where perhaps the wheels have come off, where life doesn't make much sense anymore. We may feel during these wilderness kinds of times alone or afraid that life is too hard, life is too much to handle, and so on and so forth. It's a challenge in these desert or wilderness kinds of times in our lives to keep on trusting in God. There are so many exhortations in the scriptures about God's people trusting in Him for what they need. Psalm 46, the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Though the earth should change, though the mountains fall into the depths of the sea, we will not fear, for the God of Jacob is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Or Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Or Lamentations chapter 3, the compassions of the Lord never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. The Lord is my portion. I will wait on Him. Sometimes I think we make our difficult times in life more difficult than they need to be by thinking or trying to think too far in advance, rather than just taking one day at a time. Years ago, I had a youth director in our church by the name of Tammy. And she was going through some hard times in her life. And I was talking to her one day about it, and she said, you know, Pastor, by the yard it's hard, but by the inch it's a cinch. Most of you have heard the Serenity Prayer, but I'm not sure you've heard all of the Serenity Prayer. This is the part of the Serenity Prayer that comes after the most commonly known part of the Serenity Prayer. It was written by a fellow by the name of Reinhold Niebuhr. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. I've made a little copy of that and I carry it in my wallet. Every once in a while I get it out and read it because I have to. I need that reminder. So the answer to the question, what is it? The answer is, it is enough. Enough strength, enough hope, enough faith. Whatever it is in life that you need, trust that God will provide enough. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus takes the story about the manna to the ancient Israelites, and he says he is the bread of life. It comes right after the feeding of the 5,000. It's sort of the completion of that story of manna in the wilderness. Jesus is our manna, our bread, unto eternal life. Jesus went through the wilderness of the God-forsakenness of the cross. Jesus is good to us when there may be no good in us. Jesus is our light when darkness closes in. Jesus is our hope when clouds have gathered. Jesus is our peace when anxious fears stir our soul. Jesus is our joy in the midst of sadness. Jesus is our friend when others disappoint us. Today we receive the Lord's Supper, the real body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to think of those ancient Israelites in the desert receiving God's gift of manna as you receive our Lord's body today. And remember his promise that whatever you need, he will give you enough. When I was a kid, I remember that my teacher would give us a word of the week to learn to spell, a new word every week. And I remember the week when she gave us the word desert. And I worked on spelling the word desert, D-E-S-E-R-T. And then the next week, she gave us the word dessert. Well, for a while, I had trouble differentiating between desert and dessert. And you know, you've made a mistake when at the dinner table you ask Mom to please pass the dessert. And then, you know, I realized it's so simple. Of course, as a kid, this was a big discovery. The difference between desert and dessert is one S. And so you can think of that S as standing for Savior or salvation. And your Savior can take what may seem like a desert and turn it into, if not dessert, at least he will give you what is enough. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you